We're very thankful this afternoon to have everyone back with us from this morning, maybe those who joined us just for this afternoon services. We want to welcome you to our service, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We thank you so very much for being on and letting you know, first of all, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. If you're on the call today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, then you need to be saved. And the way to be saved is to believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary. Shed the blood and wash your sins away in baptism, and that same blood purchased his church. The only church you'll read about in the Bible that is the Church of Christ. You must believe that with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess him to be the Son of God before me, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then the Lord will add you to that church. You'll be faithful unto death, and you'll get your crown of life. To the visitors who are on from other congregations, or maybe visiting with us, like Precious Faith, we appreciate having you on as well. Hope everyone will enjoy the short lesson for this afternoon. If you was with us this morning, we talked about Abraham and looked at Abraham, how God tempted Abraham and tested his faith. I just believe with all of my heart that these days and time, we got to really focus on developing our faith. And something we've been doing, Brother Stroud has been talking about the things we add to our faith. I'm talking about more of that as well. On Bible classes coming Wednesday, next comes time. Building our faith is going to be important for us to be saved. So for this evening, we're going to talk about Abraham, then his wife as well. Continue that study with Abraham and his wife. And this lesson is entitled, The Lord Visited Sarah. Then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible said, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, are the evidence of things not seen. Brothers and sisters, faith is a substance, the base of what this, of everything we believe. The whole foundation is based on faith. Our faith is a foundation for our hope because we believe in a heaven. There's a heaven that we've never seen. We want to win that place, and we want to board the hell that we've never seen. We want to miss that place. And it's going to take faith to get us there. The Hebrew writer says, but for it, by it, talking about faith, elders obtained a good report. And listen to the people who made it and why. In verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice this, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and that by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Because God had translated him, or before his translation, he had in his testimony that he pleased God. And verse 6, now here comes the pivotal verse that I want, is that without this faith, look at this, here's what happens when one does not have faith. It is impossible to please God, to please him, for he that cometh to God must emphatically believe that Jesus Christ, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It takes some effort to get to heaven and develop it of faith. By faith, Noah, verse 7, was warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, we pick up verse 8. Picking back up on Abraham, well, notice this. All of these people who made it in had faith attached to their name. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went, not knowing whether he went. So you did faith here of Abraham. He moved, not knowing where he was even going. He believed in God. We see this morning how he went to take his son, and he was going to slay him, and he did it. He got there, and he went. He knew in his heart of hearts that God would provide. He knew by faith some kind of way him and his son would make it back to the bottom of that mountain, and we showed it this morning. Now, look at that. Also, it's going to impact his wife. Let's go back to Genesis now and look at Abraham and attach it to Sarah. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee of a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and all thee all shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Move by faith, just moving based on what God said, not knowing the outcome, just moving based on what God said. Who on this call got that type of faith? You move based on what God said. And he moved, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abraham was told by God to go to a place that he had never seen. And the Hebrew writer said he obeyed. That's what he did. And we see here in the original lesson of Genesis that he just told him to go. What did he do? Well, the Hebrew writer said about faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out into a place which he had to receive that for an heiress, obeyed, and went out not knowing whether he went. And then in verse 9 of Hebrew, now you have to go back there, we'll come back. He said, by faith he sojourned into a land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham, by faith, went into on a journey, sojourned a temporary dweller, what that means, in a strange country. And he went to this place based on a promise from God. Abraham based his decision on faith in God. In the words of God, he knew God would keep his promises, and he obeyed God. Why did he go? He looked for a city. He was going to look for a city with the foundation of builder and maker is God. Abraham did not build a permanent house. He lived in tabernacle, a tent, because he was looking for a city which had foundations whose builder and maker is God. Just like us today. Those of us who are Christians, we're sojourners. We're temporary dwellers in this strange country we're living in. The Lord knows it's got to be a better place than this world we live in. I like the song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's a faith song. That's a faith song. We are temporary. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is why, brothers and sisters, we walk by faith and not by sight. This is why we obey God, not even knowing the outcome. This is why we never give up. This is why we keep fighting when others quit. We are Christians. We're on a journey. We're trying to make heaven our home. We want to be one day like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and them. We want by faith. We walk. We walk by faith with God, looking for that heavenly city, that heavenly home. Like Jesus told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You will believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know about you, but I want to see that place. And God said, Jesus said, there are many mansions there. You see, we just got to keep walking and looking for the city. Don't get distracted, brothers and sisters, about the things going on in this world around us that we have no control over. Focus on getting to the city. Focus on getting to the heaven's home. John wrote in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. Had a great voice out of heaven said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with me. This is the church he's talking about. He dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God shall be with them and be their God. And this is when the church goes back as the family of God to get those mansions. What Jesus said, I'm going to prepare this place for you. I'm going to come again to receive you. Just that where I am, there you may be also. In Revelation 21:4, he said, here's what the church going to get when we get to heaven. He said, God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes. Now, I don't know today or this afternoon or Sunday afternoon. No doubt somebody has been crying. Somebody is going through some difficult times. I don't know if it's an Abraham kind of person. Is it an Isaac kind of person? Perhaps it's a Sarah, a wife, or a mother. who's crying over her children, crying over her life. There's somebody crying, but y'all, I want to just say this to you. We all go cry from time to time. But there's going to be a day. By faith, we must believe it. There's going to be a day when God will wipe away all tears from the eyes. There shall be no more death, no more going to funerals. Brothers and sisters, no more losing of your loved ones, of your wife, your husband, your children, fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers. Them days will be over at this home. This is where we're going. This is what we must visualize in our eyes of faith. Those days will be over. No more sorrow. When we make it there by faith, we'll get to this place where no death will be. There will be no hospitals and sick people. Won't be no sorrow. Won't be no caretakers burdened down with all this stuff. No more crying. So sorry. So hurt. Mourning. Going through difficult things. Crying. Nothing worse than to get a phone call from a child and they're crying. Somebody that you love and they're crying. No more of that. Neither should there be any more pain. No more reasons for the hospitals, for the medications that we have to take, the pains and the physical pains. And maybe there's somebody elderly on the call, somebody that's a member of the Lord's church, and you've been crying, you've been sorry, you've been in pain. I want to say to you, my brother, my sister, listen carefully. You got to be like the Abrahams. You got to be like the Sarahs. You got to remember by faith. You got to walk with God through the pain, because there's a day that you have to. You're going to be a place. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You can't give up. You can't give up. I know your body may feel it. You may be feeling it in your body. You may be feeling it with the getting tired of the hospital and the doctors and going back and forth. You may be getting tired. But Paul John said the former things will get him passed away. Someone on the call this afternoon that you needed to hear this. Something for me to remind you that you're on the walk by faith. You're on a faith walk. And God going to visit you. Just like he visited, I'm going to talk about how he visited Sarah. God visited his people. He visited, means he comes into your life. That's why Jesus said, I stand at your door now. If you are open, I'll come in. I'll sup with you, you and me. That means I have that intimate relationship. When you walk in by faith, you got God right there with you. So my advice this afternoon, and I was doing it again this morning, trying to get us to heaven. That's what Brother Bruce trying to do. I'm trying to get us all to heaven. Trying to be like Abraham. When I give the invitation this evening, be like Abraham. Step out like the young lady did. Want to obey God. If you haven't obeyed God, there's no way possible you're going to be here in your home. You haven't even started to walk by faith. And then those who are on the call, who have been on this journey, you've been sojourning, you've been walking by faith. I want to say to you, don't ever give up. Keep your focus. Focus on God. Focus on what he's promised you as Abraham did. Now, also, Pharaoh, if you turn to Genesis 17, the impact, Abraham had an impact on his wife, Sarah. So it's still the men on the call. I talked about the men this morning, how important it is for you to be there for your son, the Isaac in your life. It's also important for you to share your faith with your wife. The Bible, the Hebrew writer referred to Sarah in Hebrews 11:11. He said, through faith, also Sarah, in conjunction with what Abraham done, Sarah was, and they were joined together, husband and wife. Sarah herself, she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him favorably from. So you can see the faith of Abraham rubbed off and was Abraham was an example to his wife Sarah. Let's go back and look at that text just for a few more minutes before I close. Through faith also Abraham, just like Abraham, him, his wife Sarah judged God faithful. Listen to the Bible. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, that wife, now he's going to deal with his wife. Thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. Now, know what God said I'm going to do. He's promising Abraham. I want you all the men on the call who have your wife and she's still living. Oh, Lord, I'd love to be one of that person. But, you know, when death going to do your part. Something else, but that's a really difficult thing. But notice this: if you can try to be an Abraham, God told Abraham, "Here's what I'm going to do: I'm going to bless your wife." How many men on this call are living in a way that God would say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your savior's wife. I'm going to bless her. And I would just say, I hope and pray I live in a way that God bless my wife, sir. I hope I did that. But you got your wife living, brother. You can do it. God said, you know, you be an Abraham. You trust in God. You walk by faith, my brother. And watch God bless your savior's. Bless your Isaac. The only reason is, I'm going to give thee a son. So there comes the blessing with her and a child that comes with it. Also of her. Yeah, I will bless her. She better be the mother of all of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face. See how Abraham was humbled by this God. But then God had made this offer to him to bless his wife with a son. Abraham understands there's something going on here between me and God. See, Abraham had favor with God. That's what I'm trying to say to the brothers, the husbands on the call today, or the fathers. Abraham, God had favor. Abraham had favor with God. And Abraham failed. He didn't understand quite how God was going to make this all work. But God, Abraham was a man of faith. So he fell upon his face. You know, when you see grown men fall upon their face in a spirit of humility and humbleness, it's something to see. It's something to see when a man can humble himself and lower himself to a place of humility. When you see men lifted up in pride and too much pride and say they wrong, too much pride, always want to bow up, and that's not a man of God. A man of God operates with humility and meekness. He fell upon his face in reverence to God. He reverenced God. But notice what he said, like I said, and laughed. And laughed. Inside, it's like, how am I going to do that? God going to do this? And he started talking to himself. This is not a blurred out laugh. That's not what he's talking about. There's this internal thought he had in his head. How shall a child be born unto him? That's funny. He said, how is God going to do this? I'm 100 years old, and my lovely wife is 99. Very hot. It's a question mark. He's just going through this in his mind. Now watch God work because of Abraham's favor. He blesses Abraham's wife there. And Abraham, you'll turn to Genesis 18 there. I'm trying to touch the heart of a husband, a father, a mother, and extend that to the children. As we saw this morning, example of that, my brother James Boutte, a man of faith, his wife, a sister of faith. And then responding was their children, their child was obeyed this morning, obeyed the gospel this morning. That this all starts at home in his relationship with husband and wife and children. In Genesis 18, verse 11, the Bible says that Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And this is exactly what Abraham knew. And it ceased to be with Sarah after marrying a woman. You know, it ceased to be women at this age were not able to have babies. This is not something that was normal. Therefore, Sarah did the same within herself kind of lie. Wow. See, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord be old also. She's thinking to herself, I'm going to have the pleasure of having a child. Being old, my Lord will get the same blessing that I'm going to get. So she's thinking not only of herself. So the Sarahs in the room, the wives, there are some things that go on in life where you also have to include your Lord, your husband, the one who loves you as well. But Lord speaks directly to Abraham. Notice he didn't address Sarah. He addressed Abraham. That's why we're pushing these two lessons together, because there are some Abrahams on the call listening to me. And the Lord said to Abraham, you be this person, you be this husband, this father, the father of Isaac, the father of Sarah. But you're the father, whoever you bear, your children. You're the Abraham of the wife, your Sarah. And the Lord asks Sarah, Abraham, he didn't ask Sarah, he said unto Abraham, wherefore is just 18:13. Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear him a child, whichever. Now I know God knows the answer to this. But he responded to get the Abraham to think. Wherefore is only Lord, why do you tell me why you think Abraham and Sarah laughed? The idea that why Sarah laughed? Shall I of a surety bear a child which I own? Then God comes back and get an answer. He asked a second question. He's asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord, Abraham? Why do you think she laughed? See, sometimes the men in the cage, and their cage, when a man is stronger than the sister by faith, maybe the Lord has to work through you, brother, to bring the best out in your Sarah. And maybe there's a Sarah on the call this morning, kind of thinking within yourself, this either rather. Something in your life that you kind of question, a laugh within you. Something happened perhaps in your marriage or in your life, Sarah. I'm talking to the wives. Something may be happening with your children. Maybe you're in a situation with your husband that just don't seem positive. But I want to ask you something, Sarah. Is anything too hard for God? And if there's an Abraham on the call, and you know your wife is going, your Sarah is going through some things with her spiritual life that she needs some support in, I need you to ask why God asked Abraham about his wife. You should know your wife, brother. You should know maybe she's struggling with her faith. Maybe you don't study with her enough. Maybe you don't spend enough time with her. And Sarah got a little laugh going on inside and not quite sure. And maybe that's a Sarah. You got a husband that has no interest in you spiritually. He don't do those things. He don't spend that time with you. But you on the call this evening. You still got hope. You still got this ray of hope. You got faith within you that you got to dig into for yourself. So I got to ask Sarah now. I got to ask you myself, you know, is anything too hard for God? Sarah, do you have to give up? Are you close to giving up? Is it just you and your kids? Maybe you're a single woman on the car. I don't know. You're going through this. You kind of got to look back. You don't know. You ain't thinking about it. Ain't nothing too hard for God. You got to transition. You got to change that thought. You got to try God. You got to hold on him. You got to walk by faith. You've been trying just by doing things, and it just don't seem like things are getting better for you. Maybe you're smiling on the outside. You've been hurt by it. Maybe you've been married more than one time, and you've been hurt to me and left you in a bad state of mind. Maybe you by yourself. Maybe you had to raise the children all by yourself. Now just you, man. Now you done got older. No man with you. I don't know what's going on. I'm just trying to reach somebody, but that's the same. You're trying to take care of your children. You don't have no support, or maybe you got it. You got the support. You got the Abraham, but yet you have to walk on your own feet. You got to be Sarah. And God asked Abraham. God asked him for him to think about his own wife. But Sarah, is anything too hard for God? Maybe it's just your faith. See, maybe the things you're going through are just your faith. You've been dealing with some hard things. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I know sometimes life is tough. Maybe there's a wife over here who's a caretaker for your husband whom you love. And you've been seeing yourself in this situation. And you wonder why you. Well, I have to ask you. I have to ask you, sir, is anything too hard for God? You got to do what you got to do. See? You got to be there with him. You got to take care of it. You got to get it through his trial. And he's looking at you. And sometimes, it's going to take Sarah to get Abraham through. It's going to take Abraham to get Sarah through. And together you two can laugh within yourself. But your primary thought must be, God is able. As Abraham seen this morning with his son, he was able to say, this devil after this, he said he's able to say, God will provide. Let's look at what God did for Abraham's wife in Genesis chapter 21 as we near close here. And the Lord, this is what I got with Tyler, and the Lord visited Sarah. Well, that's personal right there. This sounds like when Jesus said that, I stand at your door and knock, your heart of hearts. If you would open. Sound like here's an occasion where God stepped into Sarah's life. But God said he would. He visited her. He came into her life. Have you allowed God? Have you opened the door through obedience to God to let him be in life, Sarah? Have you opened the door of faith and let God come into your life? I'm not talking about receiving as people talk about in the world, receive the Lord in your heart to be saved. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a relationship with him. Where when you pray to God, you know God can come in your life and make a difference. If the Lord said he would, he will go back. He cannot lie. It's impossible. God will come through for you, sir. That's what the Bible says. As he has said. And the Lord did unto Sarah. As he spoke. He did exactly what he said. He said he was going to do. What he told Abraham he was going to do. I'm going to bless Sarah. Then the blessing came when he visited Sarah. And of your blessing, sister, you may be at home by yourself. You may be the one taking care of your family. You may be the one up worrying about the children all night. Let me tell you something. But God going to bless you. This is what I'm hoping for on this call, that there's a sister on this call, a Sarah on this call, that know you can say and you can look back and say, the Lord visited my life. The Lord visited Sarah. Watch what happened when God visited. Watch what happened when God visited Sarah. Sarah could see. He told, she could have a baby there. She could see. And bore Abraham a son in old age at the set time, notice this, of which God has spoken to him. It did it in God's time. God knew what he was going to do. They had to move on faith and trust him, and God did exactly what he said he was going to do. And Abraham called his name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Now, can you see now how we leapfrog to this, when he now he got to sacrifice later on, like he's going to have to sacrifice his same son. And that's, you can see where his development of his faith came through all these different times when God blessed him. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 years old. He did exactly what God to keep him into that relationship as God had commanded. So you see Abraham move as God had commanded. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. This is why, you turn back to Hebrew in verse 11. The Hebrew writer said, as I close, through faith, let's go back there. And you're going to see the word also. Abraham and Sarah. Through faith, also. Through faith, Abraham did. Through faith, also his wife herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was passing. Here's why. Look at the because. Underline that, verse 11. Here's why. It wasn't about the faith of Abraham. It's because she judged him faithful with promise. It came down to Sarah's feet. She judged that God was faithful to his promise. Would be faithful to his promise. Therefore, he writes, there sprang there even a born, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore in noon. from a man and a woman who thought they were too old to have a child. They were as good as dead when it comes to bearing children. But God told them that they were going to have a child. He was faithful to his promise. And the reason Sarah is mentioned, because the Bible clearly says, she judged God faithful. It wasn't about Abraham. It was her personal belief in God. And that's what I hope the sisters on the call can take from this lesson, my sisters. My sisters, you walk by faith. You keep your head up. You focus on your spiritual life. And you bless your husband. You bless your children. You bless others. So from these two people, Abraham and Isaac, from them came a nation of people, vast in numbers, as the stars of the sky multitude, as the sand, which is by the seashore. And why is that, bro? Just like God promised. I want to close this verse here in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll stay right there and close there. Notice this. In verse 13, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar, we persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the land. Here it is. Talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Turned into all children of Israel, all those lineages. He said, but they all of them died in faith. For they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out of, they may have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, which is a heavenly, that is a heavenly word for God, not ashamed to be called their God. We prepare for them a city. Brothers and sisters, Sarah died in faith. Don't you want to die in faith? Oh, Abraham died in faith. To die in faith is to die believing that one day you're going to make heaven your home. There's a new home. To die in faith is to die believing that one day there will be a place of rest for you. To die in faith is to die believing that one day there will be no more tears. To die like Sarah is to die knowing that God will wipe away all tears from your eyes. To die like Sarah is to die believing that one day you're going to get to walk the street of God. To die like Sarah is to die knowing one day you will dwell with God. To die like Sarah, you'll die believing that at a time when you are the mother, you are the wife, you are the caretaker. You are the one taking care of the children. You are the one with bearing the children. You know that you're going to die one day. You'll die in faith, believing there will be no more death. You'll believe there will be no more. Die in faith, believing there will be no sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And you'll die like Sarah by faith, believing that one day you're going to hear God say, well done, Sarah, that good and faithful servant. Have the Lord visited you in your life? The Lord visited, Sarah. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to visit me. There'll be time when you're going through some things in your life. And I know somebody on this call, listen, because that's just life. You're going through something. But I'm going to tell you something. If you operate by faith, the Lord will pay you a visit, and the Lord will bring you through. He will deliver you. Is anything too hard for God? And the answer is, nothing is too hard for God. I hope you enjoyed the lesson. This evening, if you're on the call, you're not a Christian. You need to be a Christian. Here's how you become a Christian. You got to believe that Jesus Christ came to this world, and that he walked among me, and he did no wrong, he knew no wrong. Yet he would suffer. He would suffer on the cross for you. He suffered before he got to the cross. He suffered when he was walking the streets of Jerusalem, carrying the cross. He was suffering. He was suffering from being beaten. But he told the apostles that he was suffering. He knew he was suffering in Jerusalem. And he knew he had to suffer. But he knew, as the Hebrew writer said, there would be strong tears. There would be a lot of pain. He knew all. He knew all that. But when they got him on the cross, when they got him up on Calvary, they drove him there. They executed him, my friend. And if you want to call him today, he said, brother, I want the Lord to visit me. Well, you need to visit Jesus on the cross right now. Visit him. Can you see him? He's been beaten. He's been mocked. He's bloody. He's shedding his blood. He's on that cross. You can't hear him saying, come to me. All ye that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Prepare to meet God. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Can you visit him right now on the cross? Can you hear him calling you to him? Can you know he's ready to help you? He had to hang on that cross. He's on that cross for you. He's going to shed the blood for you so you can have this opportunity to become a child of God, to walk by faith. And when you walk by faith one day, you'll be able to hear him say, well done, Sarah. Well done, and good and faithful servant. If you're on the call and you're that person, whether it's a man or whether it's a man, maybe Abraham, maybe Sarah, maybe it's Isaac, I don't know, maybe it's a daughter, I don't know, but it's you. You're the one that's been touched through the lesson this evening. I want you to know, number one, you have to believe he hung and suffered on that cross. You got to believe that he, number two, that he buried, they buried him in a tomb. You have to believe without ever seeing your eyes that he resurrected from the grave. That's called the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what gives us hope. And yeah, he got up with all power. And he gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe in it is baptized, shall be saved. That's what the young lady did this morning. She believed. She made a confession that she believed in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And she was baptized by her father. By Abraham was at home. He baptized, but they would take baptizing his own child this morning. Why did he bury her in water? He buried her because we believe that the Bible teaches that in that water is blood. That Jesus said in Revelation 1:5, his blood will wash away sin. And we believe that too. You got to step in that baptism pool, believe that God is there, believe that the water is there, believe rather the blood is there, and that that blood will wash away your sin. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you believe it? Do you believe this with all of your heart? You have to. Hebrews 11:6, but thou faith is a possible pleasing. He to come to God must believe. Number three, you must repent of your sins. You got to say, I don't want to keep living like this, brother. I want the Lord to visit my life. I want him to visit my home. I want him to give me some blessing. Then you got to repent of your sins. You got to say, I'm not going to continue to live like this as a single mother. Lord, me and me coming in out of my house, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not going to walk away from the Lord. I'm coming back to the Lord. Oh, I need the Lord. I need the Lord to visit me. I need to get these things right in my life. Yes, you do. Then make this confession that you believe in Jesus Christ as Son of God. That's Matthew 10:32 and 33. And then number five, you must be baptized. Acts 2:38, for the remission of your sin, to be obedient. Why did God take care of Abraham? Because he obeyed. Why did he take care of Sarah? Because she trusted, because she knew that he would come through as he promised. If God said, I'll wash away your sins in baptism, you got to get in there and believe it. And you come up by faith. Take your first breath as a child of God when you come up by the water of great baptism, and then the Lord will add you to the church, the body of Christ. The Church of Christ. That's only what the saved on Acts 2 and then verses number 47. So I said, brother, I've been baptized before. I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. But you got to walk by faith. How does faith come, brother? By hearing what? Hearing what? The Word of God. The Word of God said the Lord added to the church daily. So you should be saved. Acts 2:47. The Word of God said there is but one church. Ephesians 4:4. So there's one body. Ephesians 1:22 tells us the body of the church. You got to believe all of that. Yeah, I believe when you get baptized, you'll be added to that church, and you find the church written by the Bible while Jesus purchasing with his blood, Acts 20:28. And he also, Paul referred to in Romans 16:16, when he told them, salute one another with holy kiss, the church of Christ salute you. Now, the church of Christ, wherever you are, my listening audience, on the call today, there's the church of Christ, and it must be teaching sound doctrine, and they will bless you this evening. They will bless you. I'm so thankful. And I'm working hard. I know Brother Stroud is working hard. What we're trying to do is to develop our faith to get us to a place where we're spiritually strong enough to deal with the things that are coming on in our life. If you're not a Christian, that's your first step on a stone. It's a stepping stone to get to heaven. The first step is you got to obey the gospel. And those of us who are in the church, you got to keep adding to your faith. That verse I talked about last Wednesday, you got to keep stepping on those stones to get you to heaven. And then understand and believe that you can take the next step. You can take the next step. And if you're a Christian and you haven't obeyed, that's a life right today. You can confess your fault on this call, hit 5-star your phone, or you just need prayer. And you're doing good in your spiritual life. It's okay to say thank you to him. Maybe you just want to say thank you, Lord. And I know the Lord visited me when I was in the hospital. I know the Lord visited me. He's been in my life. I've seen him work. Maybe there's somebody on the call who needs to just say that. And that's fine. That's fine. It's good sometimes just to get thanks to the Lord, not to just always asking something to give thanks. So if you're on the call now, you want to get baptized, get 5-star on your call. On your phone. If you want a prayer request, hit 5-star on your phone. Then you need to ask God to give you something. We'll hit 5-star on your phone. We'll take your confession. We want to get baptized, no matter where you are. We'll do it here in Hall Heights, or we'll find somewhere for you. Just go ahead and hit 5-star on your phone. Let our leadership on the phone know what you need. They will make sure that we get it to you. May God bless you to your soul. Please respond now.